Welcome to this podcast from Barla McCarthy. We hope you find insight and a catalyst for change in the topics we discuss. Now here is today's presentation.
Alana Fink is a board-certified coach, expert, and keynote speaker on resilience, leadership, and workplace well-being. She has her own coaching practice, is a member of the Forbes Coaches Council, and a senior vice president, director of content, and head of learning for MeQ. Despite all of us working in the healthcare industry, we have a lot to learn about what wellness really means, and as leaders, what we need to be doing for ourselves and our team members to improve our individual and collective well-being, particularly post-pandemic. Alana has some great insights to share, and I'm delighted to have her with me today. Alana, it's great to have you with us today.
I am so happy to be here. This is so fun. And I can't wait to have a conversation with you. This is great.
Thank you. Yes, thank you. So as a wellness coach, I thought it might help to get started. How did you get there? What has been your own wellness journey?
Well, you know it. You know it pretty well. But yes, it has definitely been a journey like it is for all of us. You know, if we go all the way back to the beginning, we won't stay there very long, but if we do go all the way back to the beginning, my parents were hippies and I grew up on an organic farm. My dad has a meditation center with his friends, has been meditating since the 60s. My mom's been making macrobiotic food, you know, making her own bread. Wait, the stories go on. So I always like to say that like well-being is in my blood. It's always kind of been there supporting me in some way or another. But for me, like my real wake-up call happened a couple of years ago. Been in the health and wellness field and industry for a lot of my career in some way, shape or form. And we don't always walk the walk or we try our best, but you know, I'm a mom, I'm a working mom. I work at a startup, you know, I'm busy just like everybody else. And you know, it was about 3 years ago, I was feeling really burnt out. On the outside, looked like I had everything. You know, I got the job and the kids and the house and all the things. But on the inside, I felt like things were kind of falling apart. I was burned out, stressed out, kind of checked out, feeling kind of resentful, having health issues and various stress-related health issues and stuff. And then I was, as you know, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. And it ground everything to a halt. You know, that obviously has been the most challenging time of my life, but it also brought with it a chance for me to reset and grow and change in ways that I really had needed to for a long time, and to make my well-being non-negotiable. But it really just, and I, you know, for many of us, it takes that. And with my clients, I don't want them to wait till there's like a health crisis, because we don't need to wait that long. But for me, my journey back to wholeness really began with my journey through cancer and making some incredible changes in my life. Yeah.
And you got through it successfully and you keep working on it, making sure it stays away.
That's right.
I didn't know that about your parents. So that's one little piece I didn't know before. So that's fascinating. Yeah. But you mentioned, you know, the startup. So I know you have your consulting coaching practice, but you also work for the startup. Can you just share a little bit about what the startup does?
Sure. Yeah. I'm a multi-hyphenate. You know, I am a board certified health coach and a resilience expert. And as you know very well, I have my own coaching business called Wellbeing with Alana. But I also have a full-time day job at a company called Mequilibrium. And Mequilibrium is a SaaS solution, software as a service. So we're really B2B to C. So we're a solution that helps you manage your stress and build your resilience. We're all built on cognitive neuroscience. And we're, you know, an app and a website. We're sold into large multinational companies like Google and Ford and GE, and offered as a free benefit to employees because we know when people are more resilient and less stressed, that they are more engaged, they have lower healthcare costs and more productive, you know, all the less burnout, less depression, less anxiety, you know, better able to manage this world we live in and all those pieces. So it's kind of a win-win-win, right? A win for the employee, a win for the employer, and a win for Mequilibrium. So
yeah. And how long has it been around?
It's been around for 10-ish years.
Okay.
But 7 years kind of in the current form, that it's 7 or 8 years in the current form it's been in now.
Okay. And it's working with some pretty hefty companies, enterprises.
Yeah. I mean, we are, our customers are some like Fortune 50s, the top, you know, the biggest companies in the world. It's really incredible. I feel so privileged and grateful to be able to work with people around the world and support people around the world in these amazing companies that are doing incredible, incredible work.
Yeah, that's great. So I know you have explained to me that wellness is, it's really a three-legged stool, right? You know, there's the physical, the mental, and the spiritual. Can you share about more about those three pieces? And why is this important for leaders, given that that's the audience we're speaking to?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. I was psyched that you were asking this. So yeah, a little tweak on that. I do see, you know, our health as three legs of a stool. That's right. I typically say, you know, physical, mental, and emotional, but spiritual is baked in there too. Basically, what I'm trying to say here is mental health is health. Mental health is health, right? And it's like, we're not taught this, you know, in school. It's not culturally, at least in the US, it's really not a part of the discourse, but, you know, it's three legs of a stool. If we aren't well mentally, physically, and emotionally, you know, it's like having one leg of a stool missing or not, you know, uneven. You know, we aren't balanced and we aren't whole. You know, we need to feel like we're well in all those areas. And, you know, why is this important for leaders? Well, this is important for everybody. It's incredibly important for leaders for this reason. There is a phenomenon at Mequilibrium that we call manager in the middle. And this is what we're seeing in our data. We see an 18% higher risk of burnout in managers over individual contributors. So, you know, managers, as we know, they're being pulled and stretched in both directions, and they are actually under more stress and pressure, especially with hybrid work, remote work. Managers, like, we don't, this is a whole new workplace transformation moment. You know, we don't all have the skills to manage that and being pulled in a lot of directions. So it's more important than ever that we address and support and speak to the managers in our organization.
Yeah, that's incredible. And coaching a lot of them, I know I see it and I feel it in them, but it is that piece of recognizing it's going on. And I get think it's a cultural thing. We're not supposed to be burned out. We're not supposed to be stressed. We're supposed to be able to handle it all. And so just the sheer ability to acknowledge it, I find to be such a struggle in these folks. Would you agree?
For sure. Right. There's the, exactly to your point, there's the whole sort of like corporate athlete, you know,
yes,
you know, thing that sticks around. But the reality is that depression and anxiety are up globally. You know, burnout rates are up globally. You know, and many, many folks are just sitting around and waiting for the dust to settle.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? The dust isn't going to settle.
No, no, this is going to be around for quite a while. So addressing it and learning how to work with it is critical. I was doing some reading and, you know, in advance of talking to you. And one thing that struck me is the research identified a connection between well-being and self-determination. And they define self-determination as the ability for people to make their own choices, to manage their lives, and feel like they have control over choices and lives. And I'm guessing this is where the manager feels really stuck in the middle with lack of control. Would you agree?
Yeah, I love self-determination theory. It's wonderful and a very rich area. And it really comes down to, it's a way of looking at motivation. And it's a way of looking at, you know, there's different types of motivators. There's intrinsic motivators and extrinsic motivators, as you know. And the interesting research around that is that, you know, intrinsic motivators are those motivators that are like, oh, you know, I feel really good after I exercise. They're like the internal motivators we have. And extrinsic motivators, of course, are like, treat yourself to ice cream after whatever, this and that. But we know that intrinsic motivators are actually much more effective and powerful than extrinsic motivators. So really, you know, we sort of need to build that intrinsic, you can't wait for that outside validation, you know, to motivate you, right? We have to feel that internally. And I think that's really important to know just about human nature and about us ourselves as individuals. But when it comes to leaders, there's sort of a framework that we use at Meequilibrium that is incredibly powerful and important. And I love to share it here. And we really look at training leaders in two ways. We call it model mentor, because leaders need to be able to model the behavior they want to see in their teams, as you know so well, because our teams will model the behavior they see us exhibit. So it's really important that they understand how to take care of themselves. They're managing their burnout. They're managing their energy. They're managing their own roadblocks as leaders, right? You know, they have to model this behavior for their team. And then secondly, they need to be trained and have the tools to mentor these skills in their teams. And so, you know, leaders need to be equipped to do that, right? We can't assume they already know how. Many people don't. And just being trained on those things and looking in those two ways, that model that and that mentor piece.
One of the pieces that I'm guessing the training does really well on is, how do you balance expectations? How do you create the boundaries for yourself, right? With, I think what we hear a lot from leaders is just expectations about what we should deliver, and not so much the mentoring of how to balance that and live a normal life. We only hear sort of one side, the expectation side. We don't hear the, but I also expect you to take care of yourself and not work 80 hours a week, et cetera, et cetera. Right. I'm guessing the training actually then helps these leaders to be better equipped in both sides of that responsibility that they have.
100%. Basically, you know, stress doesn't happen to us. You know, stress is our reaction to what happens to us. And we actually have a high measure of control over that, right? And burnout is, you know, and similarly, you know, burnout is at the top of everybody's mind right now. The rates are very high. And, you know, burnout's a very complex, complicated issue. And, you know, individuals can't control everything about it, right? We can't fix every part of the organization. But that being said, there are measures of things we do have control over that can make a huge difference in our lives. And, you know, and resilience and the science of resilience and some core well-being and health techniques and methods can really be game changers and really support our stuff. And what I'm talking about are things like understanding the limiting belief, the beliefs that we're roadblocking ourselves. You know, there's the reason most of us don't practice self-care is kind of know what to do when it comes to self-care. It's we have a hard time doing it because giving ourselves permission to take the time, making that space, right? These are all the things that get in the way. Managing overwhelm, like, you know, how can we better manage our stress and better manage overwhelm? There are incredibly powerful tools. Because, you know, no matter what we do, even if you live on an island, you're going to find a way to be stressed because that's just it happens. So we really need these tools. It doesn't solve everything, but it really puts the power back in our hands in a really incredible way. So things like that. And then understanding how to delegate, to delete, to manage and prioritize, you know, all those sort of tactical things can really support us as well.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, talking about burnout, you know, this speaks to the healthcare industry. I mean, this is the world that I live in for sure. And I would love, because I think the word gets used a lot. So can you help distinguish from burnout from just general stress or feeling overwhelmed? Because sure. There is a difference, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Burnout is really defined as when the demands being placed on us are greater than the resources we have to deal with them. So demand's greater than resources we have to deal with them. And that, you know, that is the definition. And as you know, the World Health Organization finally several years ago classified it as a condition, you know, for the first time, you know, and giving legitimacy to something that has been rampant, particularly in the workplace, but, you know, in the world for many years. As a manager and a leader, sort of managing burnout in your team kind of requires a couple different prongs of things that we want to think about. And, you know, one is, of course, modeling what I was mentioning before, caring for ourselves, right? We gotta make space for self-care. And as you know so well, you know, I like to think about self-care as sort of like, we have a tank of energy, you know, just like a car, you got a tank of gas for the day. And instead of leaving it as some abstract idea of energy, really thinking about it as like this tank we have. And what do you do each day that empties your tank? And what do you do each day that fills your tank and refills it, and making sure you have a balance of both? Because, you know, self-care is not like something you save for when you have time, because you never have time, or, you know, when all the to-do list is done. It's all that. It's not a luxury. It's not a massage once a year, twice a year. I mean, that's nice, and definitely do that if that's in your budget, but it's really about managing your energy in and out every day and making sure you're doing that. So, you know, that's number one. And then, you know, with our teams, it comes down to things like communication. You know, when things get busy, when we get stressed, all the research shows that like communication goes down because we're all just like trying to get stuff done. And the data is really powerful around, you know, those managers that communicate with their teams are more engaged, really important. And identifying who on your team needs support, because with burnout travels anxiety and depression. You know, those are the three most common mental health issues. So we want to look for changes in behavior in our teammates, you know, people that are withdrawing or complaining more, things like that, and making sure we're sort of touching in and with those folks that need more support. Helping people connect to purpose and the meaning and the mission, you know, that is a wellspring mm-hmm. of resilience and strength and energy that kind of gets left because we're so busy running around. But helping your team remember why they're doing what they're doing, reminding of the mission, especially in healthcare, it's so mission-driven, but there's so many challenges and so much overwork. You know, sort of connecting into that why you do what you do piece can really help and go a long way. You know, empathy, listening to each other, connecting in that way, rewarding contributions, things like that. Those all play a really powerful role.
Yeah. And even what we were talking about before with the mentoring, you know, really sitting down with people and helping them with the priorities and helping them with time management, and helping them in some very tactical ways as well to decide, okay, what gets backburnered, what gets on the front burner, you know, using the overall organizational strategy to drive, you know, this is of highest priority. We can let these things go for a while. And communication being so key that you're helping your team to do that, but you're also communicating up to make sure there's alignment the whole way through. So I like to think of it as back to the three-legged stool again, that sometimes we have to give that emotional support in a variety of different ways. Sometimes it's a protective communication. Sometimes it's a, you know, a sorting communication, as well as encouraging the physical and the other parts as well. So we don't do it well in healthcare. Yeah. We think we should, and we don't. And there's a lot that we have to wrestle with. I mean, there's a lot of despair. There's a lot of sadness. There's a lot of heaviness. And I don't know that we, as individuals, when we're facing those things, just step away for a couple of minutes. So when you're talking about self-care, yes, the big things of exercising and all of that, but it's also the little things, right, of just stepping away for 5 minutes, taking a breather, taking a quick walk outside, maybe but you know, all kinds of even lots of small things to help.
Huge. Those small things actually are really powerful, and they are really the answer to keeping us you know, feeling whole and bringing us back to center, like simply taking three long, slow, deep breaths. You know, when we get stressed, we hold our breath, you know, for long, we actually don't breathe for long periods of time, or we just breathe in a very shallow way. And as you know, that just puts us in the stress response. And everybody in healthcare knows that, but you know, and then you're in the stress response and you're not breathing. And you know, so just like you said, stepping away, taking three long, slow, deep breaths, or throwing on a calm meditation for 2 minutes, listening to some soothing music while you're, you know, taking a few minutes for lunch, having a cup of tea, just taking a minute, looking out the window, reminding yourself of why you do what you do, connecting in, you know, these things all, they're small, they're micro steps, but they actually, let's not discount them because they're powerful. And, you know, of course, there's no magic pill or bullet, right? It's all about a practice.
Yes. And so I love the gas tank analogy, because you can even in your mind visually think about, okay, I've done this and this and this to deplete it. What have I done to add back into that over the course of the day?
That's right.
Yeah.
And if you, you know, if you're feeling like your tank is empty and you haven't even showed up for your first shift, or sat down for your first meeting, or, you know, or what have you, you feel like your tank is empty, you know, that's the first sign of burnout. Yes. And yes. You know, that's real for many of us. And that's a sign that we want to, you know, touch in and try to implement some of these small changes in our lives.
Yeah. So we think about the global scale and, you know, again, going back to leaders and again, looking at some research, it pointed to three factors that create a healthy workplace for employees: decreasing the demands of work, increasing employee control over where, how, and when they will work, and improving social support. So as your organization works with these very big firms, and you sort of explained tactically what it does, but what do you see? What does the data show you as the outcomes of how these things are getting impacted? What do you see these companies doing that's seems to be making a difference?
Yeah, that's a great question. One of the big things that many, you know, all these super large organizations are struggling with is making their employee populations, like all of us, you know, helping us all be better able to deal with uncertainty and change and challenge. Because as I said before, the dust isn't settling. When we look at sort of a Venn diagram of sort of everything we've been through, especially, I mean, for a while, but particularly in the last couple of years, the pandemic, increased violence around the world, social polarization, economic uncertainty, right? Complete workplace transformation, and then add on those in healthcare, just absolute incredible stress. I mean, these are all, when we look at any of the, you know, sort of definitions of trauma, we've been through traumatic events, right? And the uncertainty continues, workplace transformation and change continues. It's not, you know, and so we need to all be basically like upskilled. We all need to be, get the skills to deal with that. Now, resilience, which is what Mequilibrium teaches, that's one way to get people there. There's, you know, different ways. But so, you know, we're so central because for these organizations, for our customers, because we can at scale, you know, give people the skills and then also give leaders the skills to be able to handle the world and the workplace that we live in, right?
So, right. Yes, exactly. Teaching people how to be more resourceful, resistant to the stress of the change, resistant to the anxiety of what's going on in society, et cetera, building up that resilience within them.
That's right.
It's really key. Yeah.
Really key. I mean, I can't think of a time where people need resilience now more than ever. You know, it's that ability to bounce back from challenge. Yeah. But it's also the ability to move forward and thrive. So it's not just getting to zero, it's getting to that plus 10 area. And, you know, the skills that we teach, as you know, really can get us there.
Huge difference, make a huge difference. Well, I thank you for taking the time to join me today. We don't necessarily think of this topic as something that's part of leadership development, but I see it more and more for sure as I'm coaching people, and I know you do as well. So I thought it was an important topic to cover, and I thank you again for being willing to do this.
Well, thanks so much for having me. It was really fun. Yeah.
Thank you.